Well, it's an absolute delight for me to be able to share this pulpit tonight. Pastor Paul is a wonderful friend of mine. I've known him for many years. And as just stated there, we had the privilege of serving together on staff at Radiant Church for a number of years. Paul was youth pastor. I served as a senior associate at that time and really got to know Pastor Paul. But we've known Melanie maybe like since she was a kid. I mean, we've known her for, it seems like forever. And you have one of the most amazing pastors and pastors' wives. Pastor Melanie, years ago, and this would be like over 25 years ago, maybe closer to 27 years ago, if my math's right, she used to serve as a Sunday school teacher of the little kindergarten class at Radiant Church. Well, we have three children, Ryan, Courtney, and Clint. You may know Courtney, and Courtney married a Ryan, so we have two Ryans. Courtney and Ryan, Ryan served on your staff here. Courtney helps with youth ministry. But our youngest son, Clint, was in Miss Melanie's Sunday school class when she was teaching a lesson on Jonah in the well. And when she got to the part where she said, you know, the storm is raging, and they looked to Jonah, and Jonah said, it's because of me. Throw me over, and the storm will cease. And these little kids' eyes are just captivated at Miss Melanie as she's telling this story. And Melanie looks at little Clint, 5 years old, and says, now, Clint, could you do that? Could you throw your father overboard? And Clint looked up at Miss Melanie and said, oh, Miss Melanie, I could never throw my dad overboard. I would need Ryan and Courtney to help me. So yes, we share the love with them. With just the history, what's interesting is back when the church restoration, when it was planted, I was serving on staff at Radiant and was asked as representation of Radiant to serve on the church board for a couple of years. And so that was my experience with church planting. I come from a family of church planters. And in Diamond Bar, California, my brothers, I have three brothers and a sister, and then with my parents, all of them collectively were part of Diamond Bar Worship Center for many years, and just planted a wonderful church. And so when I had the opportunity to come onto the church board and just offer some perspective of what little I knew about church planting, was really just more education for me. And ultimately then, Radiant planted a second church, and that is Church at Briargate. And those of you that would be familiar, Church at Briargate is on the extreme north end of Colorado Springs, up just north of Briargate Parkway on Voyager. And so in the year 2000, we planted Church at Briargate. And so with that, one of the things that I learned in church planting is the importance of missions ministry. So back when I was invited to fill the pulpit for Pastor Paul, I was asked to bring a missions message to you. And so what I would like to do this evening is I'd like to go through a passage of Scripture collectively with you, and for us to look at a church that really serves as the model church in all of New Testament Scripture regarding missions ministry. So it's the church in Philippi, or Paul's letter to the Philippians. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me this evening to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 19. And let me just ask you if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word. And if you don't have your Bible, we've got it on the screen, but I'll be reading to you from the English Standard Version. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that indeed serves as an inspiration to us. I thank you for the wonderful words of encouragement that the Apostle Paul gave to this church in Philippi to help them understand that having a heart for propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ was so incredibly vital to the importance of the health and life of that young church. So Lord, I would just ask now in these next few moments together that you would do the same thing in our hearts. Lord, that you would indeed open our hearts to the work of missions. Open our eyes to understand, Lord, that this is not just an auxiliary ministry of this church, but Lord, this is the very fiber of Restoration Church, that we look beyond the walls of this building and we see, we try to, Lord, through your lens, see the big picture, that there is a world that is lost, dying, and going to hell, that desperately needs the gospel message of Jesus Christ shared with them. So Lord, I just pray that in these few moments together, that you will just enlighten our hearts, strengthen our resolve towards the work of missions. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, when I used the expression work of missions, my definition of that would be to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wish to suggest to you here this evening that Paul's letter to the Philippians is just that. It is an example of how all churches should look at a missions ministry. As I said in the prayer, that we don't want it to just serve as some kind of an auxiliary ministry. And I'm not degrading auxiliary ministries. They're very important and vital to the church. You need to have children's ministries, youth ministries, a worship team ministry, ushers ministry, greeting ministries. But with missions, it's not like, okay, pick one of these and then we'll pick missions to be the one that, okay, my heart is with missions. Missions is one that covers every aspect of the church, everything that I just named, and further, just everything that happens from this pulpit on Sunday mornings. It's intertwined with the work of missions that we are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the statement that I like to make is that a strong heart for missions will strengthen the entire church. And I would like to support that through this passage of Scripture. When I look at your church, I understand that Restoration Church supports 21 foreign missionaries. And that is just absolutely wonderful that you've got missionaries that make such incredible life sacrifices to leave the comforts of all that we enjoy here in America and go into the foreign lands, and sometimes with just so much less than what we enjoy. and give their lives to it. They raised their families there. They're just totally dedicated, sold out. And so to know that there are 21 missionaries that today are on the field doing their work of propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ because you have a hand in their ministry. I commend you on that. And then there are a half a dozen ministries that are local that you support. And so, you know, it's not just on the foreign field, but you support local ministries here and abroad. And if my facts are right, I believe that last weekend you may have had a missions spotlight where you sent a team down to Nicaragua recently, and they were able to share the ministry and the missions effort that they were engaged in. And then they come back and share that with the congregation. And so when I look at all of this, I recognize one thing in your pastor, Pastor Paul. Pastor Paul understands that missions is vital and an integral part of the ministry of Restoration Church. And I know, like back in 2000, when my wife and I planted a church at Briargate, I had mentioned earlier that that was my experience in church planting, and I guess I didn't make that real clear because we ultimately became church planters. We planted church at Briargate that was also mothered by Radiant Church. Radiant mothered this church first and then mothered Radiant Church, Church of Briargate second. And I just remember on our very first Sunday, just knowing that you can use every dime to launch this church. We told the congregation that just literally everything that we see received, tithe and offerings, all of it was going to go to establish a missions fund. And I believe from day one, the Lord just blessed us the way that he is blessing this congregation because of your active partnership in the work of missions. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, we have what is referred to as the Great Commission, a verse that many of us are familiar with, and it would be what we would call red letter words, words spoken by Jesus Christ. So in your Bible, if you've got the red letter words, Jesus, these were the final words that he said before he ascended to the right hand of the Father. As he's on the Mount of Olives, and he's got some of his disciples, some of his followers are right there with him, and they witness him ascending to the right hand of the Father. Just before that, Jesus says, therefore, verse 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so what Jesus is doing right here is he, in this Great Commission, is giving a responsibility to the church at large that we are to go and make disciples. But with that, he's giving us all authority to go as his representative or as ambassadors. So we are literally Christ's ambassadors, serving a responsibility backed with the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, the Great Commission is not the great suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's not like if you do this. It's a command of our Lord and our Savior to each one of us. And that is why we say that missions is not auxiliary. It is, it's just part of everything that we do. Everyone who considers Restoration Church your home church has a responsibility to be engaged in missions, in making sure that the gospel goes beyond these walls. Well, we are given that responsibility, but now a personal pet peeve of mine is if you're given a responsibility, but not given the authority to carry it out. It's like, if you've been given responsibility without authority, you've only been handed a headache. You have to have authority if it's your responsibility to to carry something through to completion. And so this is what Christ is doing, is he is giving us this authority. But when you look at our text, go back to Philippians chapter 2, and in our text, look at verse 22. It says, before I read this, Paul is just getting ready to send Timothy to the church in Philippi. And so before he sends them to Philippi, he makes this statement, but you know of his proven worth, that is Timothy, that he has served me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Oh, isn't that a wonderful statement there? When Paul is commending Timothy to the Philippians, I love the way the New American Standard just states that right there, where it says, he has served with me in the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel, that is just so incredibly important to what we do. And so Timothy is sent with all authority to introduce Jesus Christ to as many people as he can introduce Jesus to. And I would just say right here, even though this message tonight is a message about the work of missions, when we conclude here in just a few moments, I want to be able to pray with you, because I think anytime you're in a setting with this many people, there's a very likely chance that there are people here who maybe you're just not in a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. And you just know that there's not that intimacy with Jesus Christ that you know needs to be there. And I want to just give you an opportunity to be able to come closer to Jesus here before we leave this place tonight. So when I look at this, and I look at the Church of Philippi, there are three points that I would like for us to extract out of this text of Philippians chapter 2. The first is that of send or go. We have a responsibility to send missionaries or to go as a missionary. Either one of those, or I should say both. Now, not everyone can go, obviously. I mean, we just can't all pack up and leave and go to a foreign land. That's not realistic, and that's not what God is calling this church to do. But he is asking all of us to be active agents in sending people to propagate the gospel. So when you look at the Great Commission that I just read to you out of Matthew 28, how does it start off? It's the first word is go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Now, the Philippians, they were getting ready to, they didn't know that they were getting ready to receive this letter. It's believed that Epaphroditus, who we'll talk about here in a moment, it's believed by many Bible scholars that he's the one that delivered this letter back to the Philippian church. But at any rate, in verse 19 of our text, chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. So Paul is illustrating this firsthand, that this is what the church is to do. You are to send people to strengthen the body of Christ. So just as Paul is sending Timothy, the Philippi church has sent Epaphroditus to minister to Paul, who's in Rome. He's under house arrest. He can have friends come, but he is bound in chains, but under house arrest. And so when we see this, you just see that this is important, that the church just looks at this component, that we need to make sure that we are effective in sending missionaries. Now, look at what the Apostle Paul says right after that, after verse 19, down in verse 23. He says, I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come. Now, friends, it doesn't always go really well with the missionaries. You know, there are times that there are just great persecutions that missionaries are going through. And one that just stands out in my mind was back in the 60s when we were in the height of the Cold War with Russia. And when I was a child, my parents planted a church. And it was there in Covina, California. And they planted a church in their garage. And so from the garage, when I was just like 5 years old, Mom and Dad held church. Well, my dad was a residential painter. And so, you know, just every weekend for a while, you know, we would hold church in our garage on Sunday morning. Well, the little church grew, and it became more than what my dad as a painter could manage. And so they actually, you know, found a property and bought a little building, and we got a pastor, Floyd Woodworth, became the first pastor of Faith Assembly of God in Covina. And when Floyd Woodworth came to Covina, he had a son, Floyd Jr., who was a missionary to Cuba in the 1960s, the height of the Cold War. And right on the heels of the Cuban Missile Crisis, Floyd was arrested by Castro, was put in prison. And Millie, his wife, at the time they had two daughters, later they had a son, but at the time the two daughters, the three of them were sent back to America. And so they come back, but Floyd is in prison. And as Floyd is in prison, you can imagine the grief of our pastor as his son is now imprisoned in a Cuban prison. My sister, she was, I think, 12 years old, comes into the kitchen one morning, Saturday morning, and she tells Mom, she says, hey, Mom, Floyd is going to be released from prison on Tuesday morning. And Mom says, well, Judy, what makes you say that? She said, well, I was just in my bedroom praying, and that's what God told me. So my mom told our Pastor Woodworth, said, this is what our daughter Judy, she's 12, and she's heard a word from the Lord that Floyd's to be released on Tuesday morning. And friends, on Tuesday morning, Floyd was released from prison in Cuba. And back in the day, you know, me being a five-year-old, we didn't own a television, but I still have these memories in my head of us going over to our neighbor's house. They had television, and we went over to watch the evening news, and we saw the picture of Floyd. At the time, there was another story that was going on in Cuba. We had, I think, about a dozen sailors that were imprisoned, scuba divers, and you can Google it and look it up, 12 scuba divers in Cuba, and read the story. And so as those 12 were released by Castro, they said, and as a bonus, they have released missionary Floyd Woodworth. And so imagine what that did to the heart of the congregation. I mean, you know, all of us, it's like, man, here's these prayers that we've been praying for Floyd. And to know that our missionaries, they don't always have an easy path. I mean, sometimes it's really incredible what they're going through. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church in Philippi. He said, I'm hoping to come to you as soon as I see how it goes with me. So there's kind of this question mark, like I may not be able to make it, but if I get released, I hope to make it to you. And so we see this component of sending missionaries. And then the second point is to receive missionaries. So look at our text back in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So look what Paul says right here, verse 29. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. And this is sometimes what happens in a missions ministry, especially on a short-term missions ministry. I'm just curious, how many of you have ever been on what is considered one of your church's missions trips? I see several hands here. You know, they're a wonderful experience to just see how, if nothing else, just to see how the rest of the world lives. And friends, I mean, I know this is no news to you, but the rest of the world does not live like we live. We are so blessed of the Lord with all of the conveniences. And you go into Nicaragua or into Honduras, you go into El Salvador, and I mean, some of these Central America countries are just, oh my goodness, the poverty that they live with is just like, it's healthy for us to just be able to witness that, to see it, that this is how many in this world live. And so with this, the Apostle Paul he's sending Epaphroditus back. Paul has worked him almost to death. And that's what happens on these short-term missions trips. They work you and they work you hard. It's going to be intense for a week or two, how many ever days you're gone, but they're going to work you, and it'll be pretty intense. But you'll get a well-rounded view of what's going on in that community. And so as Paul is preparing to send Epaphroditus back, Paul knows, because Paul was the one who basically planted the church in Philippi on one of his missionary journeys. He stops in Philippi, and he's the church planter of the church in Philippi. So Paul's got a definite connection to this church, and he's wanting to strengthen them as they grow in their walk with the Lord. And so what we see is the Philippians, they sent missionaries, and they received missionaries. And then the third point is they supported missionaries. Look at verse, I tell you what, let me have you move to Philippians chapter 4. And I find this really interesting because Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, "And you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only." So of all of the churches that Paul has planted, the Philippian church was the one church that just understood that it is important for Paul to be effective in his ministry. We need to collectively receive some financial gifts, send it with Epaphroditus to Paul, and bless him in the ministries that he's doing, so that then Paul can in turn send people like Timothy and others out as missionaries back preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at the church of Philippi and you look at the church in Corinth, it's not a matter that we need to compare churches, because in most circumstances, it's not a real healthy experience to try to compare your church with another church. In the scripture, when you look at these churches that Paul had a hand in starting, you look at the church in Corinth, and we've got such wonderful passages of scriptures in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. But when you take a closer read or closer look at 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you'll notice that a lot of the words to them are words of correction. So even though, for instance, like we have the wonderful communion passage that we read just about every time that we, receive Holy Communion, "For I receive from the Lord that which I received," and so the Apostle Paul is giving us this wonderful passage of Scripture about breaking the bread and drinking the cup. But he's correcting the Corinthian church because they've got it all wrong on how they're doing it. So on this matter of being financial support, the Corinthian church is not supporting the work of Paul. He's not egging them on for that by any means, but he is saying no other church has partnered with me in the giving and the receiving of missionaries except you alone. And so when Paul addresses the Corinthians the second time, he says in chapter 9 and verse 6, he says this. Paul says this to the Corinthians. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So that's such a wonderful passage of Scripture, but it's a word of correction to the Corinthian church. But it's a word of commendation to the church of Philippi. Look at chapter 4 of Philippians, and we'll conclude with this right here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now, that's such a wonderful verse. It's a very popular verse. You may be able to go down to Hobby Lobby and buy a little placard with that verse on it. It's not uncommon to walk into a Christian home and to see that displayed somewhere, "and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory." But I would suggest to you that that verse, when it starts off with saying, "and my God shall supply," is a continuation of thought. And the continuation of thought in that promise is it's a promise that's given to a church that will have a thriving missions ministry. Listen to the words when it's put in its context. Philippians 4, verses starting at verse 10. "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. For you were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share in my troubles. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." And then here's verse 19. "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And so, you know, I do feel like it's fine. If you've got that scripture in your home, keep it up there. And then just understand that what the Lord is saying, be a part of missions, and then I will indeed supply all of your needs. So that is a statement that is made collectively to a church. It's okay to take it as an individual promise from God, but it was written collectively to the church of Philippi and to us. And so what I would say for each one of us, that a church that sends, a church that receives, and a church that supports the work of missions will indeed have all of its needs met. So I want to wrap it up here. And in conclusion here, I just simply want to say to you that, as I mentioned, it's a message about serving and partnering in missions. If you're giving $15 a month on your tithe envelope, I understand most of your giving is done online. And so, you know, whether you give online or whether you give in an offering envelope and you put in the offering receptacles here at the back, there's an opportunity for you to be actively supporting the work of missions. This isn't just about the financial aspect. It's about all of these aspects. That's one of three aspects. But I want to encourage you, because this is one kind of tangible one that we can all easily show that we'll be part of sending and we'll be part of receiving by showing some faithful support to the work of missions. And again, I want to commend this church, because I understand you really do have a wonderful heart for missions. If you're giving $15 a month, maybe you could just pray and ask the Lord, would you help us so that we could give $20 a month? And just, Lord, I'll just trust you for it. And when that money comes through, then we'll just, that extra, we'll just give to you. And so let's find ourselves working to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Restoration Church. What a wonderful congregation. Lord, I just thank you that they are actively involved in making sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ advances. And so, Lord, I would just say that as your word says, and my God shall supply all of your needs, Lord, I pray for Restoration Church that all of their needs will be supplied. You know, if Pastor Paul could stand right here in this moment and articulate to this congregation what he sees as the greatest needs that this church is facing, Father God, I would ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would just supernaturally begin to go before this congregation. Pave the way for them, Lord, as you continue to meet the needs so that this church can reach the greater Fountain Valley and beyond. And Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus our Christ. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you this right here. With this being a message that's missions related and it's not a salvation message, I just want to make sure that when we leave here tonight, that each one of us can leave knowing it is well with my soul. To have that peace, that confidence, that if this is the day, if you don't even make it home, and whether the Lord returns, or not trying to be morbid here, if there's some kind of an accident and you don't make it home tonight, you would just simply know that your soul is where it should be with Jesus Christ. I want to pray with you. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm not going to single anyone out here. I promise I will not embarrass anyone. But I wonder if there is anyone in here with your heads bowed that you would just raise your hand and say, Pastor Randy, would you just pray for me? I'm not where I need to be in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you're not a believer, you're not a follower. I mean, you may serve on the church board here. But you just know that your relationship is not intimate, and you want it to be so. Would you just raise your hand and just let me acknowledge you, and then you can put that hand right back down. You know, I see several hands up here, and I thank you for your honesty. And you can put your hands down. Could I just ask this entire congregation to just repeat this prayer with me? And I know you, for most of you, are already in relationship with Jesus Christ. But to encourage those that just raised their hand, can we just join with them and pray this prayer aloud? For the several of you that raised your hand, you're repeating my words, but just may they resonate with your soul. May they come from your heart. Would you repeat with me aloud? Heavenly Father, everybody together here. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. I desire to be in relationship with you. I desire a closer relationship than what I am in. I ask you to come into my heart, renew my heart, create in me a passion for serving you, Jesus. I say with my mouth, I believe in my heart, according to your holy word, that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, that Jesus Christ died on a cross to forgive me of my sins and give me eternal life. I choose eternal life. Help me in this walk now, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, the scriptures tell us when one sinner comes into repentance, when one person just rededicates their heart, their life to the Lord Jesus, that the angels in heaven rejoice. Imagine what must be going on in heaven when several people simultaneously said, yes, I want to be closer to Jesus Christ. Friends, may God richly bless you. Thank you so much for coming out to Restoration Church. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to stand in for your pastor, Paul. Support your pastors. Love you guys. God bless you.